there is now.
And welcome to the SBK Crypto Podcast.
15 minutes of crypto fame.
My name's Charles Story. We're coming live from New York City, aka the Big Apple. We're in downtown Manhattan. We're at a place called the Wolfgang Steakhouse. We're rocking it. We've just finished Consensus. We're hungry. We've been working all day. We've been up since early dawn, and we've been having a great time here in New York. So let me tell you what's been happening. We arrived at the Consensus event, which is taking place at downtown New York in the Hilton Hotel. It was absolutely rammed. People were queuing for hours to get in. It was the hottest ticket in town, and we had a ticket. So we felt very lucky and privileged to be down there. Myself and the team flew from London yesterday.
Whoa. Let's be a little bit more descriptive. What team?
Okay. Let's kick things off.
Let's make an intro. What do you think? I'm standing here holding the mic for the fun? Like, let's do this proper.
Okay. Let me just break it down who the team are. So we've got Shane Kehoe, aka the co-founder of SVK Crypto, aka the media division, aka the Telegram poster man. Shane's the most active guy on Telegram. And we have Mark Delisau, who's an ex-partner of Accenture. He's part of the partners at SVK Crypto. We have Hugh Cochran, who is one of the co-founders of SVK Crypto. We also have Oliver Mayer, who is our blockchain analyst. We flew the core members in today. Sorry for the background noise. We're recording on the street on the move because we're busy. We've got lots of after parties to go to. We've lots of cool guys. So we thought we'd just jump on and do this and deliver like we always do every other day. So listen, here's what's been happening. We had an awesome day here at Consensus. We saw major figures in the scene, including Jimmy Song. He had a great panel with Joseph Lubin, who is the co-founder of Consensus. They had an amazing discussion, but what we're going to do is we're going to show you some of the audio as well. But listen, we've had an amazing day here. We've absolutely rocked it. We've got so much cool footage that's coming on our YouTube. You can check that out, www.youtube.com/SVKcrypto. The Telegram is full of cool pictures of what's been happening today, who we've been meeting.
So, what's the Telegram?
Okay. Telegram is SVK space crowd. If you're not in it, what are you doing, man? If you're in it, you're in the know. That's as much as I can say on that one. Listen, but I've got Shane here. He's a busy man. So let him get on the mic for 30 seconds and see what he's got to say. Let's go.
30 seconds? I don't do anything in 30 seconds. Let me just paint the picture. Let me just share my visual. We are currently right on 54th and 3rd. 54th and 3rd, downtown Manhattan. As Charles has already said, we've had an amazing day at Consensus. We've been hanging out with the guys right from Consensus, Laurie Kehoe, my cousin, who's going to be speaking on a blockchain panel on the 6th of June. Anyone in London who is part of our crowd, part of our community, they got to come down to that. That is going to be an amazing, amazing event. We've also been hanging with the guys from Lisk. We're really happy with the guys from Lisk, Jacob, Max, all those type of guys.
Max, the CEO, it was great to finally meet him. He's the man behind the scenes. He's not a social creature, man, but he's a techie. And we love techies who are passionate about the space. So it was great to meet Max. I mean, the man has a wealth of experience behind him. He has an absolute insight into everything that is crypto and blockchain. And you can speak about one subject, he can tell you things you haven't even thought of or know. So it's great to meet Max.
Max is on point. We also met the guys from Vault One, which are a custodian offering from London. We really, really like them. Yeah. We met the guys from Ocean Protocol. Yep. Unbelievable. They're absolutely killing it.
Hey, let me give you a quick shout out, right? Let's go through my shout out list, right? So let's kick things off. I want to give a big shout out to the guys at the Wall Street Journal. Some of my good friends over
Hold
there,
on.
Man.
But just say how you met the Wall Street Journal, how you met Reuters, how you met the Street.
Yeah, okay.
And also Brian Kelly.
Brian Kelly.
Let's go back to him.
Let's kick things off and let's do it proper. So being part of SVK Crypto gives me the opportunity and privilege to go to the back media rooms where I can meet all these interesting figures, influential guys in the space, right? So normally you go there and you meet lots of vloggers, you meet lots of guys who work in the space. But when I walked into the media room at Consensus, I didn't see that. I saw guys from the Wall Street Journal. I saw lovely ladies from Reuters. I saw guys from the inside of the Street. So I want to give a big shout out. Let's kick things off. I want to give a big shout out to Kinsey. Kinsey Grant, who's part of The Street. He's one of the staff reporters there, an absolute legend. He was working super hard on a new story that's going to be breaking, so definitely check that out on the crypto and blockchain space. I want to give another big shout out to one of the guys at the Wall Street Journal, and that's Michael Derby, an absolute interesting character, man. He was a genuine bloke, as we'd say in the UK, man. He was a player, he was a hustler, he was a mover, he was a shaker. So big shout out to my friend over there. A smaller type blog was the 99 Bitcoins. Off-ear has been doing this for many, many years. He actually bought Bitcoin in 2010, I believe. So a while back now, I've got the impression that he holds a lot of Bitcoin. He just has a good time kind of traveling around the world. So that's great to see. I also want to give a big shout out
to our man Doug.
To our man Doug, man. Doug's,
we met Doug last night.
Doug's a dude, man. We met him last night at an after party. He's part of Fresh Digital Group. And last but not least, I want to give a big shout out to my man, the main man, Rob, at PC Magazine. PC Magazine, right, it's been going since the 80s, right?
I know those guys.
You know those guys. Yeah. Everyone knows those guys. But what's going on now, Shane, that many people don't know about, is they've actually moved to blockchain and crypto. Because covering PCs is getting quite boring, and it's where the attention is, and the attention is in our space, our little market, our little gang. So that's great that they're covering that, and we salute Rob, man. He's banging out the blogs, man. I saw him today, banging them out.
Hold on. How did you meet Lou Ho from Huabe? Where did you meet him?
Great question. So I didn't actually meet Hugh. He wasn't there.
Oh, okay. So where did you get his business card from? Did you have it in your pocket?
Someone gave it to me.
Oh, okay.
He said you got to meet Lee, and I was like, hey, I know the Huabe guys really well from my London meetup. He's like, dude, you got to connect with Lee. Lee's the absolute man. Connect with that guy. Oh yeah, so I see what you're picking up. Okay. The big boy.
Hold on. Rewind. How did you get? And by the way, this is not the first time that you've got this business card, but how did you get Jimmy Song, venture partner from Blockchain Capital, 1 Ferry Building Suite, 255 San Francisco.
Mobile.
Flip it over, Blockchain Capital.
Mobile and email, man. Well, listen, you know, Jimmy's really passionate about the community, so our synergy starts there. I mean, the fact that we're funds are relevant, it really is. I like Jimmy on a personal note. I really believe what he has to say, and I cannot wait for you guys to hear the audio, for you guys to hear the banter that took place, man, the feud that lit up. It was like pouring gasoline on a fire with those
two. It's coming up right next.
It's coming up right next, yeah. So we're going to get that done. But yeah, Jimmy's a really good guy. He's doing a lot for the space, and we connected on that kind of level. I mean, it's hard not to, right? I see him fucking everywhere. I see him... Token 2049 in Hong Kong.
Yeah.
We saw him in London. We saw him here in New York. Yeah. So we're bumping into him all over the show, and we've always got our t-shirts on. We always have a camera guy there. We always have the microphone out. And I remember him being like, hey, so what do you guys do?
You know, Charles, it's so funny, right? Sometimes I don't even know what we do.
Actually,
we do everything because we're on it 24/7, 365. But believe me, that's the hardest thing to do, to hard execute on all fronts, all the time, forever.
Yeah.
That's a challenge. It would be really easy for me to sit in my office and read research and pick the hottest ICOs and the most undervalued altcoins. I could do that all day long. That's my background, right? I was a portfolio manager, a hedge fund guy. But that's boring. It doesn't interest me. What does interest me, which gets my attention, is being full on, all the time, everywhere, 365, forever. I mean, that's it. It's that immense ability to be all over, to be obsessed to the point of that. That is it.
the granular detail.
That's it. And that's what we do, and that's how we roll. And listen, we love it, and we enjoy it. And by the way, we're having the best fun doing it. And I think being in New York, being here with the team, being down at Wolfgang's Steakhouse, which I'm actually going to in and have a steak and have some fine red wine, and hanging out with the people that I love and respect is how we do it. So for me, I've had a kind of time to bounce, man. I am over and out. I think I'm going to leave you with this lovely audio on my man Charles' story. So thank you for listening. But more importantly, if you like what we do and you're passionate about it, please comment, share, get on to our podcast. Do everything that you can to spread the love.
So let me wrap that up. So we've got our Twitter at @SVK_crypto. Telegram, you got to be in the Telegram. SVK space crowd. We also have our community channels, man. Hit me up. Listen, I'm the most active person in crypto. I'm active on all socials. Instagram, Twitter. WeChat, man. I'm on it all, but email me. That's the best way to contact me. CStory, CSTORY at svkcrypto.com. Listen, that's a wrap from me. Let's jump to the audio.
I just remain very skeptical.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't seen it. Right from version 1 protocols. Version 1 protocols have all the nodes looking at all the data, all the nodes are processing all the transactions. As we get to layer 2 technologies, as we get to state channels and different kinds of side chains, plasma architectures, sharded systems, where we take the massively over-secured architecture of Bitcoin and Ethereum, we start to apply that with proof of stake, the full validator pool, to be probabilistically assigned to validate transactions on different shards. We will build scalable infrastructure.
Well, I don't think that's, then you're giving up security. I mean, you move to public stake, you immediately give up security. There's nothing security.
How many companies actually have an auditable cryptographic lock of their operations internally that they control? It's not like cryptography was invented 8 or 10 years ago, right? Like, a lot of what blockchain has ended up being is really, you're right, it's a hype and a buzzword, but it's been an opportunity to get into the C-suite again and to explain things like zero-knowledge proofs, which never really had a lot of practical application, to explain senior secret sharing, to explain what hashing is, what's a cryptographic audit log. And in that way, even if they don't manage to get through all this other stuff, there might still be a lot of internal benefit that falls out of this thing. It's not just about, you know,
massive. I totally agree with that. There are components of it, like cryptography, private, public key cryptography, for instance, can be massively useful. But the fact of the matter is, most of these enterprise sales things are all about blockchain, 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 blockchain. So you're going to get a blockchain, you're going to get a blockchain, you're going to get a blockchain. Yes. That's the main thing. And that's not true. If you have public key cryptography, you can do a lot of stuff, like, you know, signing receipts or something like that, and you can get the cryptographic proofs in a centralized database. This obsession with decentralizing things that have no natural function in a centralized system, in a largely centralized system, doesn't make any sense.
So are you saying we should stick with essentially the Bitcoin and the protocol?
Well, I think blockchain works great with Bitcoin, and that's a very good fit. Most of the other stuff is basically utilizing tools that don't fit the problem. And when you have something and you're looking to utilize it, and instead of looking at the problem and saying, what's the best solution for this, you end up with crap that we see out of the enterprise community. That's what we have.
So why is it then that we haven't seen an actual global central database as, for example, to solve the problems of trade registries? We have, so let's say you want to pledge collateral in a financial window. You get instances where people will pledge the same asset, and they will take that or receivables. You'll take that to multiple windows and you'll leverage it, you know, multiple times. You end up over-leveraged. That sounds a lot like a double spend problem. So why is it that hasn't been solved by centralized trade registry over the last 3 years?
They're probably not motivated enough. Maybe they need more failures of people that keep doing that, and they fail and they can't pay back, and enough people lose money, then you get something like that. You're talking about, apparently, if it hasn't been solved, there's probably not enough pain to motivate them to go do it. And
can you imagine other use cases other than Bitcoin on a blockchain? Reference data systems that lots of different actors use, issuing different kinds of tokens for different.
Every solution that I've seen proposed usually has some sort of centralized entity, and it doesn't make sense to decentralize something that where you already have to trust some sort of centralized party.
I think decentralization maximism kind of always reaches a sort of failure point, but I can explain why we don't have a centralized trade registry, and that's because there are sovereign countries in this world, and no one can agree on which jurisdiction. So when you start talking about peer-to-peer payments, and then you get something like Bitcoin as a censorship-resistant system, it totally makes sense. And then you move up and you start talking about corporate-to-corporate transactions. And maybe they want to trade debt, but they don't want an agent entity in the middle. Well, who holds the risk and underwrites that? That's the real question. But move it up a level. Talk about sovereign-to-sovereign payments. These are peer-to-peer networks that people are exploring, and you're not going to see changes that fast because you start dealing with cybersecurity at the nation-state level. And these conversations are happening, and it's a very different conversation, but I don't think it's necessarily an invalid one.
Well, but I don't think blockchain is the right solution for a lot of this, right? Like, you got to recognize the tool for what it is.
necessarily going to solve everything. I mean, I wrote an article this morning exactly about that. You know, blockchain's not going to solve all your problems for you. That's a sort of snake oil.
But this is one very specific problem.
I don't think it's for that specific problem either, because you have to agree on certain things.
Would you argue against the value of bringing a bunch of companies together in an industry or along a value chain so that they have a shared
value? There are already standards organizations that do all of that. So I don't know what blockchain adds to any of this.
It's slightly broken system.
Okay, fine. It's broken. I agree.
But it's not blockchain that's going to fix it.
It's not a panacea. It's not your doctor that's going to like fix whatever's wrong with you. Although I'm not even sure if doctors do that. But you know, whatever. Blockchain is not this magical thing that you sprinkle blockchain dust over a problem and it suddenly gets to death.
That makes sense. You're a builder, you're a software developer,
yes, you can
look at problems and you can use the best available technology to propose solutions. Sometimes that's going to be a blockchain architecture.
Yeah, I have yet to see that many things about it. Honestly, you have Bitcoin, where I believe it's the right solution. Almost everything else I have seen, where you, especially those things that need some sort of like, you have some real life thing, like, I don't know, a piece of food or something, and it's a token on the blockchain that represents that or something. As soon as it's not a digital bearer instrument, you have a problem with central authority, because somebody needs to enforce that those two things are the same.
At that point, you're trusting somebody already.
It's already a single point of failure, so it doesn't work.
You have to connect the physical world to the tokenized representation, is that what you're saying?
So once if you try to link those two on a blockchain, you still have to trust the centralized entity.
There could be electronic tracking, there could be tamper resistance, and you can do
all of that in a centralized database just the same way. And if you're going to trust that central entity, then you might as well trust them to keep the database.
Entities are manipulable and bribable. They can have their own.
Well, if you have receipts, then it's not manipulable, right? Like you just sign the thing.
It's
what people have been doing for hundreds of years. Here's an itemized receipt of stuff. And we printed it on our paper. That's a normal thing.
Different problems, whether on public blockchain systems or in enterprise on private permission systems, public permission systems. I think we're going to see an internet of different blockchains. Your project's going to contribute to that, it looks like. We're going to see state channels and plasma be used this year to enable fit-for-purpose blockchain systems to provide scalable solutions for gaming, for digitally scarce assets, tokens that we don't want to store in a centralized database because somebody might manipulate that. So the value of having all of this in a radically decentralized blockchain system, all of it backstopped by something like Ethereum, and either in a sidechain construct or in a plasma construct where you can run your blockchain system, but then if anything goes wrong with that system, the people with assets on that system can pull them out and back to Ethereum. I think that's going to be a profound invention for public systems and for private systems.
So I think we can look back on 5 years, right, and look at stuff that was happening in 2013. Everything other than Bitcoin, as far as I can see, right? Maybe Litecoin. A lot of those projects are nowhere, right? Where the hell is MasterCoin? Anyone know? Right? Yeah. No, you don't know, right? Like the thing is, in 5 years, I think most of the projects in this space will have been for nothing,
especially the enterprise ones. Enterprise ones, everyone knows, takes forever. And you know, to get like financial industries or all these big banks or these places to adopt it and actually use it is a huge mountain in and of itself. Without actually, and then to do it without actually having a really usable product at the beginning, that's even harder. So I don't really see much of this stuff gaining that much traction. I do see Bitcoin becoming a sound of money. That's the major innovation here, and that's what I see is that more and more in the world will take Bitcoin as sound money and store their value in it, and that's the major thing that's going to change everything.
If we can come up with some just criteria, I will bet you any amount of Bitcoin that you're wrong.
A certain number of people that don't own a token have to use something or something like that. Maybe
sure.
You're
so,
something like that.
I don't know. In five years, five consumer applications that have a certain number of users, five commercial enterprise or government.
And they have to use some type of blockchain or something.
Yeah,
right?
Something. Yeah.
Well, and we have to define exactly what using a blockchain means.
Most
of them use a very slow and expensive database, or can. So I don't know.
Let's put this out publicly on Twitter. We'll define some terms. You can set.
One minute left. What is one
to doing during your latte?
Sleeping.
Oh, that's so boring.
Yeah. So this event is all about meetings. So lots lined up, talking to a bunch of great projects.
LobbyCon, okay.
I am looking forward to meeting everybody in the room that was laughing. So that's my I am looking forward to the reaction to this.
My phone is literally melting.
Yeah, I know, it's been bugging a lot.